Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DCB Bank Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Murali Natarajan, MD and CEO, DCB Bank Limited, and Mr. Bharat Sampath, CFO, DCB Bank Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali Natarajan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, all of you. Thank you for joining the call. Let me make a correction immediately. Bharat Sampath, CFO, retired in June 2022, and Satish Gundewar is our Chief Financial Officer, who is present in this meeting. We also have R. Venkatesh, HR, Technology and Operations. We have Praveen Kutty, who heads our retail banking. We have Sridhar Seshadri, who's the Chief Risk Officer, and other members of the management committee. I would make a few opening observations about the result of Q3 2022-23, and then we'll open up for questions. We are very close to 50,000 crore balance sheet. Our intention is down the line in four to five years, reach 100,000 crore kind of balance sheet level. The kind of investments that we are making in frontline, we are confident that, barring any episodic issues that may happen in the environment, we should be able to aim for a double the balance sheet between three to four years' time. Deposit growth has been 23%. CASA deposits crossed 10,000 crore, and year-on-year growth has been very good. Gross advances at, you know, above 33,000 crore, again, a growth of more than 20%. In line with our plan, our operating cost has increased, and that is because we are investing in frontline staff. In comparison to last year, you can see that we have grown our headcount, and most of the headcounts are going in businesses like home loans, mortgages, SME, MSME, agri-inclusive banking, and deposit business. That is where we are investing our frontline. In terms of NPA, once again, we had a very decent quarter in terms of recoveries and upgrades. The recoveries and upgrades are almost equal to the slippages. If I look at our slippages for mortgage and commercial vehicle and SME put together, we are pretty close to pre-COVID levels, and give it another quarter or two, we should be back to pre-COVID levels. We are finding our collection efficiency to be strong, continues to be strong. If you look at page, I hope you have received the investor presentation and you've had a chance to look at it. If you look at page 28, the three big categories, which is business loans, home loans, and CV. The non-delinquent portfolio as well as delinquent and restructured portfolio, the collection efficiency is pretty strong, and we expect it to be improving over time. Very little of unbilled portfolio is left for us, and even the unbilled portfolio, when it does come into billing, within a month or so, we are able to stabilize those portfolios. We are finding that our collection investments in the collection frontline has been very useful for us. In terms of gross NPA and net NPA, both have come down. Provision coverage is improving, both with technical write-off and without technical write-off. We continue to be very efficient in use of capital. Our products Most of the products are below 100 in terms of use of capital. On an average, we are using about 54-55% risk-weighted assets. We are moving steadily towards our goal of achieving 14% and 1%. We finding a lot of dispersal volume building up for us because of the investment that we are doing in frontline. The only month that was a little weak this quarter was October because of Diwali, but November, December has been strong and we expect the fourth quarter to be good as well. So those are some of the highlights I wanted to point out to you. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Darpan Shah from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. So a couple of questions from my end. You know, last quarter you had mentioned that, you know, we have not seen, or the frontline team has not seen any material challenges or pushbacks from the borrowers even after the passing on of rates. Any further comment on this, how we have seen the quarter till December and incrementally in January as well?
So far, we have not seen much of a challenge in the rates getting passed on to the customer. We haven't also seen too much of a challenge in terms of customer having pressure to repayment, because in most of the cases, the EMI has remained the same. Some challenge in the customers who are coming out of the unbilled to build, and then if you have increased their rate, so they have seen some increase in EMI, so we are working on that. But other than that, we haven't seen much of a challenge on rate increase.
Okay, fair. And so the second question was, you know, again, you know, slippages still remain higher. You know, I understand, you know, there is a recovery guard there, but when can we see a normalized kind of slippages, you know, overall book?
The normalized slippage has to be seen outside the gold book. If you include the gold book, it will look like 4-5%, because gold is a very big item, and I've explained even in my previous calls what happens in the gold loan portfolio. It's a small customer, there's a lot of indiscipline. The November 12 circular still impacts part of the portfolio. As far as mortgages and CV and SME, MSME is concerned, I believe the monthly slippages that we are seeing are steadily moving towards the pre-COVID level. So give it another one or two quarters, I think we should be there. But you should exclude gold out of this, because gold is something that we really don't lose sleep over slippages.
So, but in terms of gold slippages, you know, will it continue for next couple of quarters, or how could we see it?
I think it will probably continue for even maybe even 3 or 4 quarters, because much of the portfolio we have been able to educate, and some of the customers have repaid and have taken a term loan as opposed to continuing on an OD product. So all that is helping. I really don't think small customers are too much caring about this November 12 circular, so they slip into NPAs because of 3 days, 5 days, 10 days kind of delays. So steadily we are encouraging them to move to installment loan product. So whenever they come up for renewal and prepay the entire loan or something, we are asking them to move to installment loan. So that is also in progress.
Okay. And so, just last data giving question, you know, if we can have the breakup of provisions for the quarter.
Yeah. So NPA provision is about 39 crores. Floating provision is 4 crores. standard asset provisioning about 6 crores and restructuring provision, there is a release of 9 crores. That adds up to about 41 crores of provision.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bafna. So we are not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, is it audible now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations for a good set of numbers, Murali sir and the team. Sir, my first question pertains to, the operating leverage side. We are still, not seeing, the operating leverage to kick in because you have done good amount of investments in the workforce. But, on the NIM side, the things are playing out. But because of the cost is still, not playing out, the cost to income ratio is still hovering around 64%. So when do we expect this number to come down to, let's say, below 60% or maybe your guided level of 55%? So that is my question number one.
One of the major challenge that has been there for us this year, the full year, has been a substantial drop in the rate at which we were earning on PSLC, that is PSL certificates. So in comparison to last year, there has been a substantial drop in the rate because of the market conditions. Now, what you see in the previous year result is a higher number of PSLC, whereas you see a much smaller number in PSLC. Therefore, you don't necessarily see the overall income and then subsequently the operating profit growth. On the other side, we are doing quite well in terms of the interest income, and if you see the dispersal, it is playing out. The frontline investments are definitely yielding better results on dispersals, processing fee, and cross-sell in terms of insurance products to our CASA customer. All that is playing out. So I expect that we should be able to deliver on our guidance. As of now, it doesn't seem like a problem. But, sometimes it can be a quarter here or there. But steadily, we expect our cost-income ratio to come down to 50%, like the way we have mentioned in our investor presentation. And that will help us to achieve our higher ROA, that is more than 1% ROA and closer to 14% ROE.
Okay, got it. So hopefully next year this should be visible, the issue that PSLC is cited.
From all what we can see, we are seeing a clear path to that. We have done this before. We have done this very successfully between 2015 and 18, and we are very confident about the same. Sometimes if you say 3 quarters, maybe 3.5 quarters, 4 quarters, like that, but the direction seems to be quite all right.
Okay, and sir, my second question pertains to, the CASA deposits. The CA is constantly, for last 2 quarters is coming down in overall CASA thing. Any particular reason for this? We were hovering at around 30% and we have come down meaningfully in last 2 quarters. Any specific reason for this?
Our focus is purely on SA. Current account is, for example, the products that we have, we have a product called DBSA, which is very good for current account. But customers these days in current account, they have multiple options. So the team is fully concentrating on savings account. Now, savings account also, because of the increase in term deposit rate, savings account interest rates and savings term deposit rates are almost looking similar. So customer has one more option because in the last 3-4 months, term deposit rates across the market has gone up. So quarter on quarter, there will be some changes here and there. Directionally, where we are going is increase the CASA, increase our savings growth, and have more retail deposit. That's where directionally we are going.
Mm-hmm. But sir, considering the employee base, which is now closer to almost 10,000 employees for us on a base of, let's say, 420 branches now, 418 to be precise. So this should catapult into a good amount of growth in savings also, because in percentage terms, we are still offering far better rates as compared to competition. we are maybe one or two or maybe three banks which are offering slightly higher on the savings account as compared to competition. So when can we see, this, the additional workforce that we have deployed over last 2 years could result into more mobilization, on the deposit side. So that could help us.
Our deposits have grown by 23%. Savings, I think, year on year has grown by almost 40%. To me, we are already seeing the impact of the investments that is happening, both on the pricing that we are offering and the front line. Quarter on quarter, there are multiple things happen which are not possibly in our control. For example, term deposit rates were going haywire in the month of October and November. In December, hopefully, it was starting to stabilize, and January is looking fairly all right at the moment. So sometimes it's not easy to explain quarter on quarter. You look at slightly more longish period, and we are moving directionally. Our intention is to have retail deposits. If customers are finding that term deposit is better for him than savings, while both are being offered, now that is the choice that they make in these periods. I do believe that many banks, some CASA deterioration has happened in this quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes, yes. Definitely it is there, sir. Yeah. So just my last question, sir, on the restructured portfolio, that is we are seeing constantly coming down quarter on quarter. So any, ballpark thought process on your side that, how this portfolio is performing, or can we see, some more slippages from this portfolio? If you could just highlight that, sir. Thank you.
We have shown you the collection efficiency, including delinquent and restructured portfolio in page number 28. That gives you a decent indication that despite a restructured portfolio and coming into billing, we are still able to have very close to non-delinquent kind of customer collection, right? Slippages will be there. And there are customers who are closing their loans straight from moratorium. There are customers who are closing their account in restructured book because they have got the money now after COVID, so they are able to close that loan. So I don't have much concern in restructured portfolio. We have seen this now for more than a year. This book we have seen for more than a year. And you have seen that slippages and recovery and upgrades are all working quite well. And slippages are also going to come down, like I said, and it's already coming down. So I don't have any major concern at this stage on our restructured portfolio.
Great, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for elaborative answers, and wish you all the best for good future performance.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Anuj from M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My question is regarding...
Who's speaking?
This is Anuj Sharma.
Yeah, Anuj Sharma. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I think if I look at other income for the past 4 years, that doesn't seem to have grown in line either in terms of growth or percentage of assets. So 2 points out there. We should have some buoyancy because of loan origination traction and some new avenues which we would have thought about. So, what's been the challenge out there and how does it seem to flow in the next few years, actually? Not immediately, but what's the focus on other income?
So don't look at 4 years. Look at from last year onwards. The reason I'm saying is that 2020, 21 and 21-22, our loan growth has been CAGR about 7%. This year we are going at 21 odd percent, and when I look at the fee income different lines, obviously the processing fee is doing very well. PSLC income, like I explained, as compared to last year, unfortunately it has there has been a crash in the rate at which we were selling those PSLC, but we are not giving up hope because coming year, we do 60-65% of our loans as PSL. So there will always be demand for this in the market over time. So this year has not been very good. We are doing quite well on insurance and investment. If I look at last year versus this year, We are at least seeing a 15% to 17% improvement in that. We are also seeing definite possibilities of improving our other fees and commission, which has got various items. What has been a challenge is one PSLC. Next, of course, we didn't have, as compared to last year, interest rate environment has not been favorable for treasury income. There has been much less income this year on IPOs. So many of those items which existed last year was not there, but we are making it up with other fee and still almost bridging the gap. So I do believe that given the kind of number of customers that we are originating both in CASA and loan book, we are confident of meeting the fee target as well.
All right. And if I may, just what is the contribution of PSLC in total income?
Last year, we have declared it in our balance sheet. I think it is about 80 crores, right?
Okay.
This year is far less in that, you know. That was a very good.
This year is just 18 crores.
So that's been one of the unfortunate things that this was not expected. But we are making it up in terms of some of the other fees. Not able to bridge all the gap, but we are making it up from the other fees.
Fine. And if I may, is 1% a good target for other income to assess as a ratio?
We are at about 80 basis points, so we need to bridge about 20 to 25 basis points. Our target is 105-110 basis points. So fourth quarter usually is very good in fee income. I mean, we are keeping our fingers crossed. Trajectory seems to be good. Let's see how it happens.
Okay. And you did mention on the productivity improvement in the frontline staff, and you did allude to something. But what is the target right now, and what is the benchmark we are chasing for improvement?
Every product has different targets. Tractors have a different target for the frontline. SME, MSME has a different target. Gold loan has a different target. Mortgages have a different. Within mortgage, home loan has a different target. LAP has a different target. Within LAP, two different products have two different targets. So there are very finer scorecards in each of these areas. Similarly, for branch staff in terms of current savings account and number of savings account, balance, term deposits, there are targets. So we are monitoring that at a very minute employee level and seeing how the productivity is panning out for us. So it's a lot of everyday, daily grind to get that done.
All right. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on the set of numbers. Sir, two questions. So one is on the sort of strategy. So when we look at the nine-month FY23 disbursement, the mortgage disbursement proportionately is only 30% versus the outstanding loan book of almost 42%, which is, of course, has been offset by the SME disbursement, which is at 20%. So strategically, I mean, what is maybe a 2-3-year strategy here? Are we focusing more on SME, which is cannibalizing the mortgage growth?
No. Mortgage will be our, what is it called, major product in times to come. Even the next 3-5 years, what we see as mortgage would be probably right now, let's say it is at 50%, we probably will go to 55%, right? So we are focusing on small ticket mortgages, average ticket size of 25-30 lakhs. And SME has got two components. One is the usual CCOD component. Another is a Trends component. And nothing is cannibalizing anything. There are separate sales teams and separate kind of channel. For example, in SME, MSME, a lot of contribution referrals come from branches. Whereas in mortgages, there's a separate sales team which has its own origination, plus in the metros, referrals from connectors or DSAs. So there is no cannibalization. And we are pretty confident the amount of frontline investments we are doing. We are monitoring the investments in terms of how many people have completed 6 months, what are they contributing, 6-12 months, what are they contributing. All that sophistication we are bringing, and we are confident that these volumes will build up. compared to last year, if you see whatever number of people we have put, we are dispersal is pretty strong.
Yeah. So, overall disbursement, is surely strong. But I was just looking at the segment-wise disbursement, and I thought, let me just clarify this.
Mortgage will be our key product for at least the long-term planning that we have done for the next 4 years. Mortgage is our key product, and we are pretty good at it. We understand the business. The delinquencies have been very much in control. The slippages and recoveries are almost equal, which tells you that our the quality of portfolio that we sold to SR has performed very well for us. So from all aspects, we quite like that business and we understand that business.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful, sir. The second question is on the NIM trajectory. So even in your opening,
I was hoping that you will not ask me any question on NIM. My team was saying, what are you going to answer? I said that I hope they don't ask me, is what I wanted to say.
But sir, that is the trend of this quarter, so.
For everyone. So thankfully, I don't have to answer. Somebody would have answered that question already for you.
No, sir. So, of course, last 9 months has been really good for DCB in terms of the margin trajectory. And considering in your opening remarks, you did highlighted that, we are not facing any challenge passing on the rate hike. So, just want to clarify that, would you like to revise NIM guidance upwards?
So, I'll tell you what is not being read by the analyst. Probably other banks are different, but I can tell you. It all is, what is your portfolio for MCLR and what is your portfolio on EBLR?
Right, sir.
In MCLR, you pass on the rate, the rate actually that gets transmitted, it goes through a guideline given by RBI in terms of how you can compute it and pass it on to customers, okay, which is audited by RBI. In EBLR, as soon as the rate is changed by RBI, we affect it in the customer, and then as per the sanction terms, it gets passed on to the customer. I would say that there is a timing difference, because EBLR we have passed on how much so far now? 190 basis points we have passed on. But term deposit rates that we have increased recently in the last couple of months hasn't yet played out in the cost of funds. Now when the cost of funds increases, I can't again pass on that EBLR thing because we have already passed on what the government has, what RBI has changed. To that extent, there is a timing difference. Okay? That is one point. Second point I would like to mention is there is so many moving parts in the NIM calculation. For example, we are doing quite all right on, say, G-Sec. The mix of products in a particular month makes a lot of difference. If you do a lot more home loans, we would probably have a lower yield. If you do a lot more LAP or tractors, maybe our yield will be better. So many things goes into it. So I wouldn't want to change my guidance at this point in time. But for 3-4 quarters, if we are doing better than that, then, I don't have to change the guidance. Whatever you see is what is the NIM.
No, absolutely, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for the answer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just 3-4 questions from my side.
Yeah.
First, can you please give me a data keeping question? Can you please give me EBLR, MCLR composition that you probably have?
We don't present that information to in our thing. Yeah, we don't do that. All I can tell you is that a lot of our portfolio is variable. That is why we are able to pass on the increase. And it will work the other way, because as soon as RBI decreases the EBLR, we have to immediately pass it on to customers. So except for tractors, gold loans, tractors and gold loans, and short-term corporate loans and trade, other portfolio is all variable.
In the fixed rate book that you probably have, don't have a pass-through, direct pass-through, when your system rates have gone up by around 225 basis points, how much have you been able to pass through? So when you say that you have been able to...
In gold loan, some amount of rate we have been able to pass through, but we really don't worry about that too much, because it's a quick, within 6 months anyway, the repayment comes on gold loans. Some of the interest rates were like, for example, the MFI, that is where we are lending to NBFC MFI, or we have lent to other NBFCs or some corporate, we have been able to pass on the rate in the next cycle, in the sense that if it is a fixed rate loan, 3 months they came and repaid, and the next 3 months when we are giving them, we have been able to increase the rate.
Got it. The second question is essentially on demand side. So in your mortgage portfolio, because of the interest rate hikes that we have seen in the system, there has been an impact of demand, or probably you are not seeing that as you speak?
Not yet. Not yet. We have not seen the demand. I don't know, Praveen, you can answer what is Praveen, head of retail banking, can give us some.
So we are seeing the inquiries continuing to be high as usual. Plus the conversion rates are also normal. So we don't see that the higher rates creating a deficit in the market. So this is true both for LAP and for home loans as well. And you can see that from the incremental disbursals which the bank has done over quarter two and quarter three, right, on mortgage. On page number 23. So we're not seeing an impact yet. And during this period, we've seen about 2.4% increase on EBLR coming through.
Got it. Just one last question. In terms of most of the banks have been submitting index format to RBI on a 6-monthly basis. Any indications on your side as to if at all we were to transition today, is there any impact on earnings, or probably we are broadly there and not much impact even if we transition to that accounting regime?
So
we have also been preparing pro forma financials as per Ind AS, and basis that also we don't see any significant changes in terms of the provisions and all that. So that is at a little lag, but we have been doing that in the past also. So we don't find that there will be any significant change into the financial on that, especially on provisioning. We don't find it as a challenge.
See, much of our portfolio is retail portfolio. Okay. Supposing you have I'm just giving an example. Like supposing one has a 50 crore kind of slippage of corporate. Now, to estimate the loss, the net present value and all would be quite a challenge on that. That's not the kind of challenge we see in any of our portfolios. We know rough and ready what is the kind of loss given default we are likely to have, because we have enough data. So on that basis, they have been preparing. Of course, all that has to be fine-tuned once RBI, kind of mandates the bank. You see page number 30. On performing advances, we have 1.74% provision we are carrying. Right? So, and then you also don't forget that when the index comes, we may be allowed to, the HTM book also, if it is in the money, that there will be some, benefit there. So there are a lot of moving parts. It's too early to say, but ballpark, I think we are in a decent position.
Yeah, just from a fundamental perspective, the thought process of asking this is, when I look at the recent few quarters, the gross slippage has been on a higher side. So while I understand we have a very strong recovery and upgrade, which has led to the numbers that we are seeing. But from a gross slippage perspective, our PD should ideally increase when we look at from a historical trend perspective. So maybe
LGD will be very low. PD may be higher, but LGD will be low.
But on a cross-cyclical basis, any which is LGD would not have changed. But if my PD changes, on a runaway basis, you probably may have to make a higher provisions on index basis.
Not necessarily. You have to get both PD and LGD. In a personal loan kind of thing, the PD may be lower, but the LGD may be very high. I have done this in my previous job in Standard Chartered. The computation has got both PD and LGD.
Got it. And just one more clarification. Any hint in terms of the number of years of data that probably we will consider while looking at PDs and LGDs? Any broad sense is that, or probably 10 years?
Those are all, this is a very you know, detailed exercise, and you know, I was explaining to one of the board members that if you look at our mortgage portfolio as an example, which is approximately 50%, within mortgage portfolio itself, there are at least 8 or 9 different portfolios with different products, different characteristics, and so on, and may have different PD and different LGD. So it's a very complicated exercise, and we are still at you know, early stage on that. But prima facie, we don't see a challenge in our financials.
Got it. Thank you so much for this clarification. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Kiran Pulavarthi from Pulavarthi Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity. Fantastic set of numbers.
Yeah.
Just from the cost side, sir, if I look at on absolute basis, the cost of it are still increasing, and it is way above in terms of your guidance of 2.4%. And absolute employee additions are still continuing. Just want to understand that are we behind in terms of adding further employees going forward, and then next year will be more like
reach a 100,000 crore balance sheet. Why would we stop hiring employees? Our business is about hiring frontline employees, making them productive, getting you know, business. That's our model. We are a small ticket retail you know, outfit. So that would continue. But the fact of the matter is that the pace at which we add that versus the pace at which our income will be growing would start to, you know, like the income would outpace the growth of expenses. And, you know, most likely next year we would see a much different kind of trajectory on both. So employee hiring we have to do. And we are doing installment loans. So installment loans means customers are repaying the loan. As I start the particular year, almost 15-20% of my loan book will come back, right, in some installment. Then if I have to grow it at 20-22%, then I have to add more people for getting that disbursement volume. Third thing which I mentioned in my last call also, if I had headroom in my cost-income ratio, I wouldn't hesitate to add 10,000 more people. That's the kind of opportunity we see, because we are good at mortgages, we are good at the small ticket SME, MSME. There is an opportunity in the market, it is big, and we want to make sure that we make a substantive balance sheet and size of the bank. Of course, we will pace it such that we deliver the profitability, expected profitability as well on an ongoing basis. So employee addition will continue. Not at this pace, but will continue.
Got it, sir. So do you believe that in the next 2 years you might get to the 2.4% cost to sit, sir?
That is the intention. We want to do it sooner, and we are very firmly fixed on these targets of cost income, the cost to average asset, ROA, ROE, and the doubling of our balance sheet. And at the distance, we are also keeping our view on that 100,000 crore balance sheet size that we want to reach. We are at the halfway stage right now.
Got it, sir. So just two couple of data keeping questions. Will you be in a position to disclose what will be your average savings bank deposit rate which you are paying on your current savings bank deposits? And the second question is, out of the standard restructuring, you mentioned that by March, less than 400 crores will be under moratorium. Will you be in a position to disclose now, as of December, what is that number? Thank you.
So we have disclosed to you the March number, right? And that means we have given you one, you know, months ahead as to what is likely to happen. And we sent the same number or some 700 or something, 700 or something we said last, the same, right? So we have hardly got any moratorium left, and most of the moratorium is just home loans and LAP, fully secured book. We never gave a moratorium to unsecured portfolio. Regarding the average price, I wouldn't like to disclose that. That's our advantage, so I don't want to be disclosing that, but we have already given you the NIMS and cost of funds and so on.
Thanks, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Suraj Das from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, one question. Sir, you published the disbursement number on a quarterly basis. So if I calculate the repayment number from this disbursement and loans movement, then I see that the repayment as a percentage of last quarter loans is coming down, you know, for last two, three, four quarters. I just wanted your thoughts here, because I think ideally the repayment should, you know, go up, because as your non-restructured loans is also coming out of the moratorium and all that thing. So this percentage should go up. I mean, I just wanted your thoughts here, sir.
No, if I'm originating loans at a faster rate in mortgage, especially installment loans, for the first couple of years, the repayment will look smaller because the customer is only paying interest, right? Principal is not coming back. We are growing, we are disbursing much higher numbers than what we were doing last year at the same, on a month-on-month basis or even a quarter-on-quarter basis, right? The catch-up of repayments will happen over the next one to one and a half years. If you continue to build the disbursal, you may not see that as well, right? You see any new company which starts booking loans, just for argument's sake, they start booking installment loans, they won't see too much of repayment in the first year or 2 years. That is the impact you are seeing now, because we are building the mortgage portfolio. I think our mortgage has grown by at least 23% as compared to last year.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thanks. Sir, just to confirm, I mean, these disbursement numbers previous to two, three quarters used to include the, you know, co-lending as a separate line item. However, I believe you have stopped disclosing that number. I think the co-lending part is also included in your presentation across segments, right?
No, co-lending is not in this disbursement. This is without co-lending. This is all originated by us.
Okay.
Okay. It will be even much higher, the disbursements. But co-lending, in no period we have added. We have just shown you our disbursements.
Okay.
It is like to like.
Okay. Understood, sir. Sir, one question on the segment-wise growth. I mean, as you said that, the mortgage, MSME, SME, all these disbursement have been pretty good, and that we can see also. If I see the segment-wise growth, the SME and MSME segment, that growth has been, you know, slower than the overall growth for last couple of quarters despite, you know, good strong disbursement. I see the share of MSME and SME in overall loan book has also, you know, come down from, let us say, 10% couple of quarters back to around 9.1% as of now. Just wanted your, you know, view here, because MSME I think is a, you know, MSME plus SME is one of the key focus area for you.
No, the mortgage book is also 85%-90% MSME, SME. Okay. Our target market is MSME, SME. Okay. As far as the SME book is concerned, we have made some frontline investments in the last three, 4 months. We have revamped some products. We have also changed some of the segment offering because we wanted to focus on some key segments in SME, MSME retail rather than go all over trying to attract customers. Also, we want to reduce the focus on CC/OD as much as possible for the simple reason that two actually reasons. One is that CC/OD utilization is very erratic, so it's very difficult to predict your balance sheet, although you can see the flow of customer transactions. The second problem is small customers, SME customers, are not very disciplined on CC/OD, so they end up having this NPA because of November 12th circular. We are trying to kind of do some adjustments there. I believe that next year our SME, MSME growth will be far better than what we have been able to do this year.
Okay. That's understood. Sir, just last question, I mean, two data keeping points. If you can disclose the other income breakup for this quarter, one, and the second is if you can disclose the gold loan slippages in absolute terms.
I don't know whether we are presenting those numbers. We don't give that kind of detail on fee income, do we? Satish, no. We don't give that detail. Gold, I think there's some slippages there, no? It's not there?
Product-wise NPA.
Product-wise NPA is given. That is what we present. We are not showing gold separately.
Page 26.
Page number 26. I think it's pretty enough information.
Understood, sir. Now, sir, other income actually you used to give, I mean, you stopped from, let us say, before FY 2023 onwards.
We will come back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Sincerely appreciate every one of you attending late evening Saturday. Thank you very much. On behalf of my entire management team, I thank you for your support and look forward to talking to you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DCB Bank Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.